From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Matthew chapter 25, you're welcome to our Salvation Rally service. Matthew chapter 25 and from verse 24. This is the parable of the talents. The certain man, Bible says, was traveling and he gave his servants talents. We read from this point, the Bible says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, you remember, he gave somebody five, he gave somebody I think two, or is it three? Two. And then he gave somebody one. And the Bible says that when he came back, he asked them for what he had given to them, and then the extra that they have gained. You know, he traveled, the rich man traveled, he had three servants, he gave them gifts, he gave them talents, he gave them opportunities. And two of them made good use of the opportunity. The last one did not make good use of the opportunity. So it's the last one we're reading about right now. And we'll just learn one or two lessons. We'll be out of here. I believe you will. You'll see God tonight. Amen. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Then he said, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The title of my message is, will you be in outer darkness? Will you be in outer darkness? Will you be in outer darkness? Ask your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, will you be in outer darkness? What did they say? They said no. Nobody wants to be in outer darkness. But there are things you do that will put you in outer darkness. And there are some things you may even not do, but will still also put you in outer darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand that there is a place after everything we see here called heaven. There's also a place called outer darkness. Now, God wants every one of us to come to where he is when we die. But it's not everybody who actually wants to go to where God is. It's very fantastic. Because for you to understand where somebody wants to go, it's much or more dependent on how the person lives their life or what the person believes in. So this is a story that links people to a certain destination when they are dead. The Bible says that this man was so kind enough that he gave three people chances. He gave the first one 5 chances. He gave the second one 2 chances. And he gave the last one only 1 chance. Ladies and gentlemen, there is, for many of us, the only time you will hear that you should give your life to Christ is only tonight. Let me tell you, I have been preaching for many years. And I still don't understand why we cannot be so sensible to actually tap into people who are preachers and have been preaching for a long time. You see, the world is a very fantastic place to be. The world will appreciate people who have gone to school to learn about gold, people who have learned about oil, people who have gone to school to learn about water, who have gone to school to learn about people. They say sociology, social work, all kinds of things. But the society never appreciates people who know how to preach and to cause people to give their life to Christ. People who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The society never learns to appreciate people like that. Now, being in Guyana for many years of my life, I have been to several churches. And I'm telling you, you can go to a church and you can leave the church without even being given the opportunity to give your life to Christ. It is not automatic that if you go to church, then it means that your destination is automatically heaven. You'll be very surprised that you'll be going to church for the rest of your life and you still end up in outer darkness. Because this is the thing. There were three guys. Everybody had an opportunity. But you see, if you look at the three guys, the first guy had opportunities. And he utilized all the opportunities he had. Now, on a Wednesday evening like this, you probably wouldn't be in church. As you are sitting down here in Isla Penitas, here at Shepherd House, Wednesday evening, it is uncommon. You didn't plan to be here tonight. It is some sister who forced you to come inside. In fact, if the sister does not take care, you even leave before I finish preaching. But you see, what you are failing to realize is that people are giving a certain number of chances. Some people are giving only one chance. They say you have only one chance to give a first impression. Maybe I got five chances. Maybe somebody will get two chances. Maybe somebody will get three chances. But let me tell you, do not be so. You see, you don't even know whether you have one chance or not. But what happened was that this gentleman, he was given only one chance to make a decision of a lifetime. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I don't appreciate this chance. I don't want this chance. I'm going to take this chance and put it somewhere and forget about it and ignore it. I don't need God. I have other things to think about. I don't need church. Church is this, church is that. Why do people end up in outer darkness? It's because they despise the opportunity given to them to be saved. This is one of those opportunities tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If you are here for the first time, if you are here for the second time, if somebody invited you in here, last night, you see, we are having this meeting for 3 nights. Next week, we are going to have another meeting for 3 nights. It's evangelism month. It may probably be your only chance this month in July to actually hear about God, to hear about heaven, and to hear about hell. What you are hearing here tonight, you don't hear it on the streets. You hear garbage on the streets. When you sit in the minibus, you don't hear people preaching. You hear music. When you go to work, it's a radio. People listen to Malcolm. People listen to Gordy Mosley. People listen to all kinds of things. Those people and those people, they don't give you any opportunity to reconsider and think about your life. What happens to you when you die? So I'm saying that this opportunity you have here in this church is either going to make you find yourself in outer darkness, like that guy. The Bible says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant. Why is he unprofitable? Because when he was given an opportunity, he despised it. You see, I don't know where you live. I don't know where you were going. I don't know where you were passing. When a brother in the church said, let's go to church. Maybe this is your first time using this road. And probably your last time for the day. For
For many years, you probably wouldn't use this road. But you passed here for a certain chance and opportunity to be handed to you. So be careful tonight as the preacher is preaching and is talking about outer darkness. There's a place where it's dark. It's so dark that you can't see the person next to you. You see, the Bible says that place is so dark and there is weeping. You see, David said that, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, there's a place where if there's darkness, naturally darkness is not a very nice thing. A lot of things happen in the dark. One day I was a very young Christian. I got myself involved in a deliverance that was too horrible for me. The first time I heard of a six-hand God was back in the country where I was born in Ghana, West Africa. I was involved in a deliverance session with one of my cousins. And then she almost died or something. And she said she saw this six-hand blue something shot an arrow at her. That was the first time in my life of hearing that something has six hands. It's when you live in Guyana, a six-hand something is common. It's not something you're not even afraid of it. Because once you enter a shop, you see them there. They are all standing there smoking a cigarette. Smoking ganja. You go to the shop, you see some incense or something within them, and then it's blowing, and they are sitting down there with their legs crossed and all of that, different kinds of things. It's normal. You see, and it's so difficult to avoid those people. Because when you come to Guyana, you say you're a Christian, you would want to avoid all these Hindu, this flag kind of places. But you hardly find places where there are no flags. All the supermarkets that are around that are big, they have flags. All these wholesale places where you get things a little cheaper, they have flags. The Chinese also have flags these days, I hear. Yeah. So if you are going to select and find out who doesn't have flags, you probably will have to remove from this country. Yeah. Go to Antigua somewhere. Or Barbados, where they don't have them kind of headaches. Are you with me? So when she spoke about that being that she saw, it left a certain fear over my life. So I was visiting there, my auntie, and that's when I experienced this. So I went back to my city, went back to church, and we were so used to, I mean, when I cast my mind back, late night didn't start for me even in Lighthouse. When I got saved, I was just introduced into late night. After service, after meetings, we'll go to this brother's house. It was so constant and it was so known that we were like a group of about 10 to 12 people. Our mothers will send our food from our house to that place. So by the time we finish church and we go and sit down and we say we're having fellowship, you see pots, plates and bowls with food. So this one is for you. This one is for this person. So then we all sit down and we eat. Because our mothers know that we are not coming home now. So we go to that brother's house and we'll be there. We'll gather, fellowship, laugh, tease each other, all kinds of things. And we'll eat. And then around midnight, 12 midnight, 1 a.m., everybody leaves. Now, where I used to live, we're about 3 or 4 brothers. In my house, you go on top of a hill, and then you go down in a valley. Then you go straight into my house. So as we were climbing the hill, I had come from this experience of hearing about this six hand something. I never said, hey, six hand. Hey. The experience shook me. So as we were going up the hill, the first night when I came back from this Accra, you know, as we go, there was a corner. So the first, one brother will take the corner. Then the second corner, another brother will take the second corner. And then the two of us will go on top of the hill. And then the third one will take another corner. And I go on top of the hill and descend and go to my house. When I left them, when all of them left me on top of the hill, you know, Africa and these places, We don't have light. So midnight when you are walking on the road to your house, I tell you, it's you and your God. So when they left me and I was going, it was dark. Even though I could see my house afar off with the light there. As I was walking, I could feel like somebody was behind me. How many have felt something like that before? It is one of the most scariest things. Midnight, I'm alone. I say I'm a Christian. And then as you are going, you hear like somebody, there's another footstep. When you look back, there's nobody. Then I began to think about this six-hand God who shot my cousin with an arrow in the evening. So then you increase your steps. As you increase your steps, you feel like the person behind you has also increased their steps. Then you look back. You look back. You're still not seeing anybody. Then you begin to run a little bit. That situation is just a little bit. It cannot be compared with the type of darkness that exists after this world, where people is like jail, where people are thrown into the darkness. The Bible says there is weeping. You can hear people weeping, but you can't see them. When you are approaching such a place, you say, no, please, please don't take me there, but it will be too late. He said, there will be gnashing of teeth. Like, you see, people, teeth making noise. Like that. Gnashing of teeth. And people weeping and wailing. The people who go there are people who do not take advantage of opportunities like this that you have here tonight to give your life to God, to invite Jesus into your heart. If you do not respect this opportunity, you can easily end up in a place. The outer darkness. That's the opportunities. God loves us so much. See, I was telling some of you earlier when most of the people were out, that it is not by accident that you are here. Now, if you believe that there's a God, you must also believe that God loves you and he actually thinks about you. And that he works in ways we cannot understand. You see, many years ago, I went to the University of Guyana to start Bible study meetings. This was in 2005. Once a week, I'll go there to the NBS Hall of Residence. There's a When you enter, there's a center. I don't know how it looks today, but if it's even in existence, there was a little hallway. I'll go there. The matron of the hall will help me organize the students. We'll sit together. They'll have Bible study. Once a week, I would go there in 2005. I got a few church members from there who used to come to church where we were on Durban and High Street, right after Carnegie, heading east of Carnegie. There was a building there. We used to have our church there. That was where we started. People came from that church. Out of that group of people, Lady Pastor Kizzy, who pastors our church in London, is one of those people. 2005. You see, you may think that I just went to the place to do Bible study and that was it. You may think that there's something like that. But you see, God was actually calling somebody. God was actually trying to pick up a pastor, somebody that he wants to use for the rest of the person's life. You see, so as we say, Salvation Rally, two nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in God's divine plan, on the Wednesday, which is tonight evening, God actually planned that you be invited here. He planned that. That's it. You have to believe what I'm saying. You may not know me from anywhere. So you may probably not even understand what I'm talking about. But you have to believe. You don't have to understand everything to believe. When you go to the hospital and the doctor says that you are sick of diabetes or jaundice, do you know how diabetes looks like? You believe what the doctor tells you. As much as he tells you such a big thing over your life, you believe him. And he gives you some things to take every day. He said, take one in the morning, take one in the afternoon, take one in the evening. And you believe him so much that you take them. I'm saying that what I'm saying, I am also a doctor in a certain light. You may not understand what I'm saying, but just make sure that you do not miss this opportunity to give yourself and to give your life to God. And that God brought you here tonight for a reason and for a purpose. You see, I was born in West Africa, in a country called Ghana, in a region called Ashanti region, in a town called Agogo, to Mr. Victor Collins Asabri Sr. and Mrs. Cecilia Asabri. 86 years ago. I grew up, went to primary school, daycare, primary school, secondary school, went to sixth form. My siblings migrated to Europe in the Netherlands. So when I finished sixth form, it was automatic. My sister said, come, education is better here. So I migrated to Holland. I lived there. When I went to Holland, I was a Christian. I gave my life to Christ. A year after I went, I migrated. I went to Holland to look for money. Because Ghana, there's no money in Ghana. So I went to see greener pastures. Because the Bible says that he leadeth me beside, he makes me lie down in green pastures. No sheep wants to eat brown grass. I don't know what kind of sheep you are who likes brown grass. Yeah. So I migrated to Europe. And then I joined a church. And then I joined a church. And then Lighthouse, I joined Lighthouse. Then one day my pastor told me, leave all this riches, leave all this vision you have, leave this nice life you have come to build for yourself, your wife and your children, and go to Guyana. I said, where is Guyana? We didn't even say Guyana, we say Guyana. He said, go to Guyana. I said, Guyana? Where is Guyana? I went on the world map, I was looking Guyana. Where is Guyana? Then I realized it's on the South American continent. And I knew a lot of, you know, we used to mingle with Surinamese. So it's next to Suriname. Okay. So one day we decided to go. A friend of I think my wife knew somebody, or my brother-in-law knew somebody who he worked with, who is Guyanese and was married to a white woman. So he introduced us to him and told us that, oh, since we are going to Guyana, we should go and see this guy. And he will tell us more about Guyana. Because you are coming to a place you don't know. You are coming to start a church. Your pastor says, come. You are leaving everything, your dream, your aspirations, your money, hunger, and everything that you went to Europe for. You are leaving all of this to go to a place you don't know about. This is Abraham. So I went to see this gentleman. Who is supposed to be Guyanese? The man said, you going where? Guyana? I'll advise you to go to Guyana. Hey, Guyana. I shouldn't go to Guyana. Why? The man said so many bad things. Race, bigotry, stealing, bandits, all kinds of things. The Guyanese guy who has come to marry a white lady is saying about his own country. And the white lady said, oh, she likes Guyana. It's very beautiful. And a man looked at her like that. You ask you to say something. When we left the place, my wife was wondering. She said, Charlie, where are we going? I said, baby, don't worry about a thing. Because everything is going to be all right. Baby, don't worry. Now rise up this morning. Three little birds. Stand my bed up, isn't it? Singing sweet songs from Guyana, South America.
This is my message to you. Hey. Yeah. I said, don't worry. It will go. And I came to Guyana. I came here 14th March 2005. I didn't know anybody. You ask me, no, don't ask me, look around and see whether it was an accident. It was like that Charles Darwin's theory. Darwin's theory that this church just happened. No, somebody from Africa who didn't even know his future was sent to a place he had no roots to come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who hear and listen and obey and follow the paths of God. And for 13 years, that's what I've been doing, Sunday after Sunday, weekday after weekday. I've been preaching and I've been leading people to Christ. I've been doing altar calls. We've been raising leaders. We've been training people. We are planting churches. 13 years, we've been doing this thing. It is not by accident. So when you meet me, you have not just met a human being. You have met somebody who God has called and set up in your life. That if you don't listen to what I'm saying, you can easily regret. If you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you, you are actually saying to God, I don't need you, I don't want you. Because ladies and gentlemen, if anybody had told me to come to Guyana for money, Guyana money? Who comes to Guyana for money? We rather go somewhere else for money. It means that my existence here, the way I do, when I speak, you have to really think about it. So you who is here tonight, there are some people who have been with me for 10 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years. They've heard me speak, so they are fed up. They know all what I have to say. But you are here tonight. You don't know me. I don't know you. Don't take this meeting for granted. It's an opportunity that will either land you in the streets of gold or in outer darkness. The choice is yours tonight. Stand to your feet, somebody, tonight. Hallelujah. Will you be in outer darkness? My God. Oh. So I want you to just close your eyes wherever you are. It's a very, very serious time. Because this is the moment where you have to make a decision. You are being given a talent. You are being given a treasure. Like that servant who had one. Are you going to take it? Or you are going to leave it? Deal or no deal? Will you offer yourself? Will you give your heart to Christ tonight? Or you would say, I good. I don't need them church. God. The decision is yours tonight. But if you're here tonight, while your eye is closed, your head is bowed, you want to say, Bishop, please, I don't want to end up in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Even here on earth, in darkness, some of us can't even sleep in darkness. The light is on till morning. But tonight you want to say, Bishop, I want to choose the destination. I want to buy a ticket tonight to take me, when I die, to the streets of gold. The city set on a hill. The city, that beautiful city, that Zion, that heavenly Jerusalem. That is where I want to be. Where the brightness of the place comes from God himself. Bishop, that is where I want to go, not outer darkness. If you are here like that and you want to go to that place, I want to ask you to lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. God bless you. Don't let me talk too much. Your right hand. God bless you. You may not understand it, but believe. Believe. Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he that cometh to him must believe that he is.
and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Bishop, I want to go to heaven, not outer darkness. Minus me, God forbid, not outer darkness. It's heaven I want to go. If you are like that here tonight, you want to make that decision, lift up your right hand. All over the place. Your right hand, your right hand, your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Especially if you're here for the first time, do not leave without making a decision. This may be your only chance. If you go to other churches, they will never give you this opportunity. This is a golden opportunity. God bless you. I see your hand. If you lifted up your hand and you are serious and you mean business with God, I want to ask you to take a bold step forward right here. I want to pray with you. Come from wherever you are. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them right here. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Oh, clap. 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 Clap for them. Clap for them. Though your gift is small, broken hearts and broken lives, he will take them all. 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 Jesus is calling you. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. He died for you. He gave up himself for you. Come to Jesus. Clap for them as they come, ladies and gentlemen. The Father. Broken heart and broken life, he will take. Oh, clap for them as they keep coming. It's so beautiful. This is Salvation Rally. This is Salvation Rally. This is Salvation Rally. People are making decisions tonight. Decisions of a lifetime. To the street of God, not to outer darkness. To the Father. Though your gift is small, and though. Broken life, he will take them all. The power of the world, the power of his blood, and everything was done, so you will come. Oh my, this is beautiful, isn't it? Oh, come on, somebody. Give it up for Jesus. Wow. 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 This is what you call Salvation Rally. I believe that heaven is rejoicing tonight. Now all these precious people have come forward to give their lives and their heart to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are in front, let me tell you, you will never regret this decision. It's one of the most important decisions you are making in your life. I tell you, people clap and people rejoice about things that don't last. You see, if it was just a boy and a girl, just excuse me, if it was just you and this gentleman, what's your name, sir? Kieron. And you are Samantha. If it was Kieron and Samantha here at the altar saying their vows to get married, you see how people say, ah, oh, cute, oh. And then 5 years later, they don't love each other anymore. But this one here is a lifetime change. This change is for a lifetime. This is to take you to heaven. Not just here on earth. So God bless you for responding. I want you to close your eyes if you're here in front. Close your eyes. Lift up your two hands. And pray this prayer with me. See, it takes humility to even acknowledge that you are a bad person. Many people don't believe that they are bad. That's all me, I'm not bad. I lie one time, but you know, I generally I'm a good person. Before God, you can't be a good person. So pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father. I am a sinner. I'm sorry for all my sins. And I humble myself before you tonight. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe there is one God. And there's one mediator between God and man. And this person is Jesus. Therefore, I humble myself and I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to come into my life. I hand over the keys of my life to Jesus tonight. And I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe in Jesus as the judge of all mankind. I believe Jesus is alive. I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus will come again. And therefore I submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe by this prayer, I am born again. My life has changed forever. I have been given another chance to make it to heaven. Thank you, Father, for accepting me and forgiving me of all my sins and washing me with your blood and giving me a new chapter of my life to live my life well, to please you and please you only. I'm excited tonight that you have written my name in the book of life. Thank you, my Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for everyone who is standing here at the altar. Thank you for a supernatural transformation for young and old, for male and female, for every type of person standing here at the altar. You know them, you know their heart. I believe, my Father, that changes have taken place in their lives right now. Because the Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's going and where it's coming. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. You continue to say that that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I believe these ones are born again and born afresh. And that every darkness over their lives has been swept away by the life of Jesus Christ. My Father, I ask that you lay your mighty right hand upon every soul here at the altar. Let them do well. Let them do well, oh God. Let them do well here on earth. Irrespective of the number of days they have, oh God, here on earth. Your word says our days are 70. Let them excel these 70 years and beyond. Every plan of the devil against their salvation, I rebuke tonight in the name of Jesus. Every yoke of the enemy around their necks, around their feet, around their hands, I declare loose tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the mighty right hand of God that brought the people of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea into the promised land, let that mighty right hand rest upon their lives from today forward. Any demon or devil who will come around them, may they fall, may they be disappointed, may they be ashamed. Let these lives be a wonder and a sign to everyone who comes across them. Thank you, Father, that you hear me when I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are not feeling well, but now you feel better, please check yourself. If you are not feeling well, and you feel that you are well, whatever situation you came with, you feel. It's not that you believe. Practically tonight, you are better. I wanted you to come and share your testimony. Don't be shy. Guyanese, we don't like sharing with things, but you shouldn't be Guyanese. You should be a Christian. Come. You are touched. God has touched you. The power of God came upon you. Your situation has changed. Come to the front. We're going to share our testimony. You are the Lord, you are the Lord, that He led me, that He led me. You are the Lord.
and you heal my disease. What's happening there, Pastor Gerald?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. What's happening?
Bishop.
Come, yes. step forward. Yeah, let us step forward. You're right. A bit more forward, Gerald.
Bishop, yesterday I came with a belly pain and it was just hurting my tummy very bad. So after church over last night, I went home and it was just hurting still. So I drank a tablet, it didn't work. So this afternoon I came and it was just hurting me. So I was saying that I have to dance. So this belly pain would not stop me. So after you were praying and you said, if you have a sickness, it should in Jesus' name, I fell to the ground. When I get up and I feel my tummy, the pain
was gone. You fell to the ground?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I get up and I feel my tummy, the pain was gone. I feel it better right now.
Wow. The pain is gone. You don't feel the pain anymore. You took a tablet, it didn't work. But tonight, as I pray, you fell, and when you got up, the pain is gone. Father, thank you for permanent healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Gerald, what's happening there?
I am the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he...
Isn't God good?
Then what
All
happened
the
tonight?
Time God is good. Well, tonight, in the service here, when the bishop said that all who want to be healed stand, well, I stand in good faith. Decades ago, I met in an accident. My right shoulder was dislocated. The muscle was torn. And as I get older, this pain is fire in me. And believe me, God said they did good, because when he said, you're healed, I lift up my right hand. And I tell you, Mr. Doris is good. Thank
you. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. The shoulder is gone. Father, thank you for a wonderful miracle of our brother Sammy's life in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are the Lord. You are the Lord.
Pastor Gerald, what's happening to Lady Pastor Conetta?
Amen. Tonight.
Forward, please. Gerald, please.
Tonight, when Bishop prayed and he said, receive your healing, he said, there is a young lady in the midst with your right breast, it have a lump in it, and my breast have had lump in it, and I was just saying, God, look, I'm believing you for a miracle. I'm not going to any doctor for them to give me bad reports. I'm just going to believe you to get my healing. And tonight, as Bishop said it, I began to feel my breast. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. The lump is gone. There's no lump.
Nurses, you have to feel here after church. Oh. Why are you sitting down?
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.